For just a few moments, I got a quick devotional I want to bring. Lamentations chapter 3, right past Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. We'll get into the lamentings. I want to talk to you about the faithfulness of God for just a few moments. Lamentations chapter 3. That was a great song that she just picked out. There's another great old hymn of the faith called Great Is Thy Faithfulness. And we see some of that here in Lamentations chapter 3. The words of that song are so beautiful, so powerful. Let me share the words with you. It says, Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon for sin and peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Man, what a great thought. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Man, the Lord has been so good to us. There's so much truth in that song because it comes from the Word of God. Lamentations chapter 3, look at verse 20. He says, My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. And this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Isn't that exactly what we talked about this morning? It is only because of his mercy that we are not consumed. We learned about that in John chapter 8 this morning. And what an incredible passage of scripture. What an incredible truth. He said, we're only not consumed because of his mercies, because his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him and to the soul that seeketh him. I would say that it's of a certainty that we live in troublesome times. The news is not only frightening most of the time, the news is depressing. It's frustrating. And I think many times the news that we see is often fake. It's not even real. Wickedness prevails, but that doesn't really surprise us because Paul told Timothy that in the last days, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. The Christian life and the Christian church is beginning to kind of fade out, lose its strength, lose its saltiness, lose its light. Churches are not as effective as they used to be. Christians are not as effective as they used to be. Furthermore, I read that the Berean Call reported that only 6% of Americans hold to a biblical worldview. That number blew my mind. That means there are many Christians who've gone after the way of this world and changed their mind about biblical worldviews. It also said in that same report that the number of millennials, that number would drop to 2% of millennial Christians who still hold to a biblical worldview. And so with the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist is running rampant and free in our nation. I don't think it's any surprise that we live, and I don't think it's any secret that we live in a pre-tribulation era. We have to be in the last times. We have to be going. The last times are going to be marked by apostasy, falling away. Thessalonians tells us, except there come a falling away first, that day will not come until there's a falling away. And that falling away is a falling away from the truth. Apostasy is running rampant, not only in the world, but in churches. People are falling away from the truth. Churches are falling away from the truth. Christians are falling away from the truth. Many of them are shying away from the truth because they don't want the truth. And so the spirit of Antichrist is running free. Times are turbulent. Tribulation times are here. Yet with all of these, many things that we don't know about, there is nothing more hopeful than to realize that we serve a Lord, that with Him every day is brand new. I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful, like the adulterous woman in John chapter 8, that tomorrow's a new day. Today has its struggles, it has its sorrows, it has its pains, but tomorrow's a new day. His mercies are new every day. And I take away from that, just like this morning, that no matter how much I may fail and how much I may struggle today, that when tomorrow's sunshine comes up, my Lord is there to greet me with a brand new day, with brand new mercies, brand new opportunities, and brand new forgiveness. It makes me hopeful because we live in a time where it seems very dark, but we know that it's always darkest right before the dawn. And so for all that there is in the world, we realize that God is good and that God is faithful. If we've learned nothing else through everything, we know that His mercies are new, His compassions are new, available every day, and that our Lord is faithfulness. The songwriter wrote it so well when he said, "Great is thy faithfulness," because he wrote what the words of the scripture are, that great is God's faithfulness. You know, every now and then I begin to, like most people, I begin to feel sorry for myself. And I begin to think about all the things in my life that shouldn't be the way they are, should be better than what they are, things that I could do better or things I should have bettered, things that aren't going the way that I think they ought to go. And I remember at the end of the day that my Lord has been faithful to me through everything in my life, through every hardship, every heartache. And to know that His mercies and His compassion and His forgiveness is new every day, it gives us hope. It brings hope to the drunkard that he can be sober. It brings hope to the harlot that she can be pure. It brings hope to the liar that he can become truthful. It brings hope to the prideful that he can become humbled. It brings hope to the bitter that they could find a spirit of forgiveness and freedom. And I'd like to say this today, there's always hope. I'll tell you a funny story before I share a serious story with you. Several years ago, I was at the office, and there was a couple named Justin and Brittany. They came in to visit us, and they came in because we had placed some things out on the sidewalk to give away, and they came in asking if they could have it, and I said, "Yes, absolutely." And I could tell they looked a little hungry. I had some pizza there. I said, "You want to come in and have some pizza?" They said, "Sure." So they came in, and I gave them some pizza. And I thought, while they're here, I'm going to just talk to them about the Lord. So I witnessed to them a little bit. Anyway, Justin and Brittany came from very broken homes and lives. And you probably heard me talk about them before. But Justin, I'm glad to report that today Justin is a brand new man. He was a meth addict. They were both meth addicts. They had both long, hard roads, but I shared Christ with them, and before they left, I said, "Let me ask you something." I said, "What would stop you from trusting Christ as your Savior right now?" Now, I remember Justin saying, "Nothing, nothing would stop me from trusting Jesus as my Savior," and we prayed together, and they both prayed to receive Christ as their Savior. But if you know anything about people who are addicted to methamphetamines, it's a struggle, and They battled. They did so good. They told us, they told me when they left that day, they said, "Now listen, you may not see us for a while because we're probably going to get thrown in jail." And they were right. I didn't see them for about a month. And then there was a warrant out for their arrest, and you know how that goes. And so anyway, about a month goes by, and they call, and, "Hey, we're out of jail. Could you come pick us up?" I went and picked them up, took them to McDonald's, got them a hotel room. I said, "I'm coming to get you for church in the morning." "Okay, yeah." And they came to church, and then our pastor took them into his home. Probably the single greatest act of kindness and compassion I've ever seen anybody do. He took two meth addicts into his home for about 3 or 4 months and fed them and took care of them. And they had the space in their home, and they needed a project. It was so good for them to do that. But you know how it is with meth addicts. They have fallbacks, and they were in and they were out. They struggled. They were up and they were down. And I remember Christmas came around, and Brittany and I got both of them a job down the road at Amazio's. And they wanted to do something nice for me. And they brought me what was a little plastic, miniature plastic marquee, like a church sign that you change the letters on. It had little bitty plastic letters. And they put, in the little plastic letters, they put, "There's always hope." And they wrapped that up and they gave it to me for a Christmas present. And I got that. And I thought, wow, what a great gift. Until I realized that they stole it from the Dollar General. But then I thought, you know what? His mercies are new every morning. They came clean. And I kept that for a long time. And if you go to Florence Street, go into Brother West's office and look up on his shelf. You'll see it there. It says, "There's always hope." And there's that little plastic marquee that they stole for me from Dollar General. It's a thought that counts, right? But, you know, when I found out that they did that, I thought, well, you know what? There is always hope. You know, the Lord is good. He is faithful. He is merciful. They relapsed. They regained. Today, Justin is healthy. He has a job. He's got his daughter back in his life. The Lord, if you were to talk to Justin today, he would tell you, "Great is his faithfulness. Lord, unto me." His life is together. He's got it going on. But there is always hope. I came across this story. I was going to share it with you. If you ever feel like your life was going down a bad path, you need to introduce yourself to a guy named Larry Hanratty, who was named Los Angeles Times most unlucky man in California in 2007. This poor man was nearly executed to death in a construction site accident. For weeks, he was in a coma with his lawyers fighting for his liability claim until one of his lawyers was disbarred. Two of them died suddenly, and his last lawyer ran off with Larry's wife. Then after his recovery in June, he was in a terrible car accident, and before the police arrived on the scene, he was robbed of $55. On July 4th, his insurance company tried to stop his workers' comp claim. He came within 2 days of being evicted from his home. By the end of July 2007, he was suffering from lupus and had started a lung condition that required him to carry a canister of oxygen with him. He was taking 42 pills per day for his heart condition and his liver ailments. Finally, the city council came to his aid, and then his friends rallied around him. After all that had happened to Larry that year, he said to the mayor, "There's always hope." Larry, who was named Los Angeles Times' most unlucky man in 2007, well, let me finish telling you about him. Even though he was stricken in 1 year with several very bad circumstances, it never stopped him from doing what he did best. He was a deacon in his church. He was constantly helping others in their time of need. Everywhere he went in town, he was known as Hope. People just called him Hope because he always told everyone, "There's always hope." He died on December 25th at 4:05 p.m. of liver complications. At his funeral, there wasn't room enough for all who wanted to pay respect to his life. He was more productive in the last year of his life, which was his most difficult. In 2007, it was estimated by his church, First Baptist Church, that he visited over 100 needy families, gave more hope to those who were shut in, touched more lives with the aid that he gave to the local hospice where he volunteered every single week. And on his tombstone, it reads, "There's always hope." There's always hope because we serve a God who is faithful. His mercies are new every morning. His compassions fail not. And no matter what's going on, God is still there. It's not time for us to worry about this world. It's time for us to be preparing. As Christians, I think one of the great temptations for us is to panic sometimes and want to go into our shell and not be a part of this world that we're living in and not have any contact with it. Yet the Bible tells us that we are to have contact without contamination. We are to have influence without infection. And we are not to just sit back on our heels and go, oh, times are bad, times are troublesome. We are to be serving God, watching and praying for when He is coming. According to Luke 21:28, we need to be anticipating the Lord's return, and we need to be watching and praying. Let me end with these passages from Mark chapter 13, verse 32. It says, but of the day and that hour knoweth no man, talking about the return of Christ. Know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray. For ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he findeth you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. As Christians, we ought to be preparing for the Lord's coming. Our Lord is faithful every day. He gives us new mercies, new compassions, new forgiveness every day. Our Lord is also faithful in His promise to return. He's going to come back. No matter how hard things get, He's faithful till He comes, and He is faithful in His coming. He is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but He is faithful. He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And our Lord Jesus is coming back. And until then, since He is faithful, let us also be faithful. Let's pray. Father, thank You again for Your faithfulness and for Your mercies that are new every morning. Lord, we're so thankful for the message that we read in the Scriptures that we read this morning in John chapter 8. I'm thankful for the hearts that it touched and just how forgiving and compassionate, faithful You are. Lord, we fail, we sin, we struggle, we worry, we distress over things that we have no control over. And yet, through it all, You are faithful. There is no shadow of turning in You. You change not. And Lord, if we can't rest on anything else, let us rest upon that truth from Your Word. And Lord, I pray that as Your body here on this earth, that we would do the same, that we would be faithful. Help us to be the Christians that You would have us to be. Give us Your heart, give us Your eyes, that we might see this world the way that we need to see it. And Lord, that we might pursue it with a great love and passion. Lord, as we move into our moment of business together, may You bless that time. Give us a spirit of unity. Provide all of our needs. Show us Your faithfulness. We'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.